project today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Installation included qualifying purchases. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Winter time is in our forecast. No precipitation this week. Overnight tonight, the low is going to be around 8 degrees with winds coming out of the northwest. Not gusty, though. For your Tuesday, a partly sunny day, the high around 22, the wind chill value feeling like zero. For your Wednesday, sunshine, the high around 19. KIIC. And now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now with your host, Pat Powers, here's Just Start Talking.
Right now on the phone for my installment of Just Start Talking, I got Joellen Schwartz. She is the principal here in the Lincoln Center, Albia. Joellen, thanks for being with me today on KIIC.
You bet, Pat.
Such a big responsibility being a principal of an elementary school, but we'll get into that stuff later. Talk a little bit about a young Joellen growing up. Talk about where you grew up at and what you like to do.
All right. So I am from Eddyville. I was born and raised here and definitely grew up as free as I guess you could be at the time. So had lots of fun playing with friends, riding bikes. My dad was an avid hunter and fisherman, so did lots of fishing. I didn't hunt, but I went scouting. I learned how to drive at a very young age so I could take my dad and his buddies out scouting on the roads. And I love sports, so I played softball and basketball. I only did track when Mrs. Jensko really needed someone to do hurdles, and she begged me. So basically just helped the team on that part, but really enjoyed playing basketball and softball and, you know, just kind of growing up in a carefree time.
Speaking of your dad, he had a unique, quote-unquote, hobby also during the summer times. He had a vending business, so to speak.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yes. My dad and my grandfather started a snow cone and cotton candy business, kind of on the side, and went to the drag strip here in Eddyville and the Wapello County Fair, Mahaska County Fair. And then when I was about 13, my grandpa had to have a pacemaker put in, and he was no longer able to run the machine. So I actually bought the business when I was 13. My dad and I had talked about it, and it was going to be my way to pay for college. So my dad still had to drive me everywhere, but I started working the events all by myself when I was 14. We'd get it all set up, and then my mom would be at home making syrup and getting everything ready. Sometimes we sold caramel apples, too. And then we became very adventuresome, and we joined Ragbri a couple of years. So it was an awesome way to earn my own money and pay for college and have some meet some great people.
I don't want you to let the cat out of the bag in terms of bottom line, but it certainly was lucrative in terms of profit made. Am I not off base there?
Yeah, especially Ragbri. That was rather shocking because there weren't a lot of vendors back in that day that went around with it. And we ended up staying late. A lot of the riders enjoyed getting about a half of a snow cone, and then I think they were mixing some other things in there, and they tipped really well also. So we made a lot of money during Ragbri.
That is phenomenal to hear. That is a great story. Hey, so let's go into graduation. You graduated from high school, and then you went to college where?
I started off at Indian Hills, so that I could continue. I was very concerned about making sure I could pay for my college by the time I was done. So I lived at home, and I continued to work at Fairway and the Mahaska State Bank, and I went to Indian Hills for 2 years, and then I transferred to Iowa State University. Got up there, absolutely loved it. Grew up a Hawkeye, but easily became a Cyclone fan. The atmosphere was great. And kind of going along with my working, I worked at Save You More, and my funny story there is my dad came up and you know, was talking to me about work and life balance and all those kinds of things. And he actually went in and talked to my manager and said that he wasn't going to let me work there anymore if I worked over 30 hours a week.
Oh, gosh.
So my dad put a stop to my 40-plus hours and full-time school, which was fine because I ended up really enjoying the time that I wasn't working.
Very good. That's a great way to put it, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm assuming that education was your first vocation. What made you pull the trigger to get into the educational field?
I grew up with some amazing teachers and just people that really cared. And I just saw what an impact it made. I also had a teacher that I felt like maybe didn't care for teaching any longer. And it really showed me the importance of letting kids know how special they are and how important they are and valuing them. And it just seemed like it was a calling. I knew from sixth grade on that that's what I wanted to do. And so I became very focused in making sure I could go down that path. And like I said, pay for my college and be out and, start my next adventure.
More times than not, it definitely is a person that's in the educational field that, you know, sparks that light, turns that light on for people to say, yeah, I wouldn't mind helping kids out. So that's kind of cool to hear.
So Mrs. Farron in third grade and Miss Johannes in fourth grade, absolutely amazing. And they are the ones that, always encouraged me as well.
How cool is that? All right. Mm-hmm. So talk about your first position that you had.
Okay, great. I went in, just a little FYI, Iowa State always has open interviews. And so I went in just thinking, I'll just try out my interview skills. And I was actually hired the same day that I interviewed. So I felt like that was a sign that I was to move to Lee Summit, Missouri. So I didn't know that much about it. I knew it was outside of Kansas City. And I thought, Kansas City, that sounds fun. So I started working as a third grade teacher in Lee Summit, Missouri. Absolutely wonderful people. It's huge. And in my building alone, there were five sections of each grade level. And then, like when we would have district meetings, there would be people that you had never met before that had worked there forever. So I worked there for 5 years and met some of, the friends that I still have today. Absolutely loved it. While I was down there, I also went to Baker University to get my master's degree. Lee Summit is a very affluent area. And so some of the challenges that I saw while student teaching, I didn't necessarily see in Lee Summit. But it also made me want to come back home to make a bigger difference and be able to impact kids' lives. And I wanted my children to grow up close to my parents.
So when you talk about your master's, you're talking about your administrative degree, is that right?
My first master's, the Baker University, I just obtained an educational master's and did a lot of philosophy classes. I was not thinking I wanted to be an administrator at that time. I hadn't hit that milestone yet. So that was a lot of discussions. Once I started working in Eddyville, Blakesburg, I was hired to teach kindergarten in Blakesburg, and my first class had 30 students in it. So that was a huge challenge, and definitely felt like it was the right move to make. Blakesburg was an amazing place to come back to. The people there, again, just amazing teachers. We were super tight. We went out to eat together and talked about how we could make a difference for kids. And then while I was there, one of our administrators ended up having a brain tumor. And so for whatever reason, Dr. Meyer said, hey, Joellen, can you take care of some of these things? And then Dr. Cook eventually came along after a couple other administrators and said, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And I just started looking at what could I do that would make a bigger difference. And one of the things that I really wanted to do was create protocols and procedures that were student-based. And so then I pursued my certification to become an administrator.
Wow. It's funny how things fall into place. But Let's go on back to Lee's Summit, though. Talk about some of the challenges for a big school district. You mentioned the fact that there's five sections of third grade. Did that cause grief / headaches for you? What was the biggest challenge that you had?
Luckily, my team at Lee Summit was really tight, and we had two new teachers, which was kind of odd there because they didn't have a lot of turnover. And so the other teacher and I came in, and the three veteran teachers were just amazing. And ended up, Kim McIntyre is still one of my best friends. We came in together. The challenge was definitely, like, I want to know all the kids, and I want to know their families. And growing up in Southern Iowa, you know how everyone's related. And the safety security part, even way back then, was a huge challenge because one of my extra duties was car duty, and we had to set it up so students were dismissed if your last name was A through M at like 325, and then N through Z was at like 340. And so just making sure the kids were getting in the right, you know, cars and all of those kinds of things always made me nervous, you know, not knowing families. And then just different events, trying to, you know, make contact with my students and things like that. You really couldn't make a difference as far as a classroom teacher in anything other than your students' lives, which was awesome. But we had no say in curriculum or anything like that. They had a district team, and everything was told to us instead of collaboration, the way that we do it here in smaller schools.
I was going to ask if it was state-driven or the school district driven. So it sounds like it was school district driven.
Right. They at that time, they did have a lot of state mandates and different things. The people at the central office made all those decisions, and then we were just told this is what you need to do.
Wow. I'm talking with Joellen Schwartz. She's the principal here in town in Albia at the Lincoln Center, and she just got done chatting about her experience at Lee Summit, that's down by Kansas City, a suburb down there in Kansas City. And then you started out at Blakesburg in the elementary school there as a teacher, and then turned into an administrator. But talk about the classroom challenges there at Blakesburg in terms of how that came to be.
I think the biggest shock to me going from Lee Summit to Blakesburg was resources, both just within the classroom and then just resources to help families. While I was in Lee Summit, my second year, I was put on as a parent liaison. So I sat in on all IEP meetings and 504 meetings, and I was the go-between between the school district and the parents, because I've never had a problem asking questions or advocating for students, and so they thought that was a good role for me. And so then knowing what those resources are in a bigger district and then going to Blakesburg just didn't have the amount of resources that they do in a larger area. So that was a struggle, but I think what made up for it was just the camaraderie and the support and just the hard work of all the teachers and paraeducators there.
And of course, when you speak resources, one of those items is financial, whether it's the state money that comes into the school district or the income level that people have, the parents have in the school district, mm-hmm. right?
Correct, yeah.
Your time there at Blakesburg, you got shifted, so to speak, to a different center there within the EBF school district. Talk about that.
Right. I had taught kindergarten, and then they were needing someone to take some classes to become a reading recovery / Title I teacher. Eddyville had a Title I reading recovery teacher, and they wanted Blakesburg to be comparable and have one. And so as a team, as we always did, we sat around and we kind of each talked about it. And I was the person that wanted to learn more at that time and had the availability to do it. So I took on the reading recovery Title I position, and I did that for a couple years. Absolutely loved it. And then it was about November, December one year, and Dr. Cook called myself and another teacher in And he said, hey, Eddyville, we have a situation. We have a second grade teacher that needs to leave, and I don't want to put a new teacher in that classroom. I need a veteran teacher that parents feel comfortable with. And so the two of us kind of talked it out, and so it was determined that I was going to go to Eddyville. So I went to Eddyville to teach second grade mid-year. And again, just working with great people, they helped me get the classroom ready and kind of get on my feet because I hadn't taught second grade before. And so I did that. And after I started doing that, Dr. Cook really pressured me then. He's like, you need to go back and make sure you get your degree. You need to become an administrator. So all of that kind of then pushed me into the administration role.
Wow. So we'll step back real quick to reading recovery, but I want to make certain everybody understands. This is Joellen Schwartz. She's the principal at Lincoln Center here in Albia. That reading recovery, you can really measure students in terms of their advancement because of the fact of how many words they read slash how correct they are with their reading, pronunciation, and of course, speed. So all of that mm-hmm. is part of it. Am I not right?
That is correct. And they did different cueing systems. I think research has kind of shifted a little bit away from that, but the way I was trained still did a lot of phonics work, even within reading recovery. It was a great, great, great tool to be able to look at the importance of data and to make data-driven decisions. And I think that was one of the big pieces that also helped me in moving to administration is the importance of what do we need to be keeping data on and how are we using that to change our practices.
Yeah, data is so important, that's for sure. So let's go ahead and talk about that step into the administration. You've got to, quote unquote, go back to school. What college slash school did you go to then?
So at the time, the state of Iowa did not have as many administrators as they would like. There's a shortage of administrators. And so the AAs got together and they started a leadership academy that through the state of Iowa, you could be certified if you already had your master's degree plus 60 credits, you could become an administrator. So it was kind of the fast track. So you could do it a lot faster because you already had a master's plus 60. So I went to Keystone AEA every Saturday for 6 months and then once a month for 6 months after that. And so that was a lot of learning and a little bit of time, but the beauty of that particular program is all of the instructors were highly regarded principals and superintendents in the state of Iowa. And they really kept those connections up. So once you started in your new role, they continued to mentor you and they still mentor me today. So.
Well, I've got to tip my cap to you. Everybody's supposed to be a lifelong learner, but you definitely have continued that trend for yourself. So that is very, very good. Kudos to you. Go ahead and talk about the advancement to the Fremont Attendance Center. You were the sure. principal there.
Right. So all along the way, I was also kind of working on curriculum. So as on the side, when I was at Eddyville Blakesburg. And so when I went to Fremont, I was the Fremont Elementary principal. Again, amazing crew of people over there, fun place to work. And I also was the Eddyville Blakesburg curriculum director. So I actually worked with both districts and I had an office in each location. So we were trying to do our professional development together at that time. My first year at Fremont was when the junior high moved over to Eddyville, Blakesburg. And so I, at that time, then just had a pre-K-6 building and then was the curriculum director at Eddyville. So I loved working there. It's a great community. You know, always a little concerned with never being in the right place because at that time, Blakesburg didn't have a principal, and so I would have to go over there quite often for just meetings or different things like that. So I did a lot of traveling at that time, and that's one of the things that, you know, became a big challenge because I felt like I wasn't doing my job justice because I was never in the right spot at the right time, traveling between three different communities.
Well, I'm sure EBF doesn't like to brag, but I think they're the second largest school district in terms of square miles in the entire state of Iowa. So it took a little bit of time to go from Fremont to Blakesburg.
It definitely did, yes.
And so the opportunity came open for Albia. You pulled the trigger and made the move over to here. And talk about that experience.
Okay. So the year before I applied at Albia, at that time, the state of Iowa did Department of Education site visits. And when you did a Department of Education site visit, they would have different administrators from other school districts come in and go through all of your paperwork and then write recommendations or concerns or, you know, things that they felt like were really going well. And through my connections through the Iowa Principal Leadership Academy, they had reached out and said, hey, we really feel like you should join one of the DE groups. And again, I wanted to improve my practices as a principal and help improve Eddyville Blakesburg. So I said, okay, sure, I'll go on a couple site visits. Well, one of them was in Albia. So, you know, you go through and you're really looking for things that need improvement. And when I was sitting through all the meetings and interviews with teachers and interviews with administrators, it hit me that I really want to work in Albia. I'm like, this is amazing. And one of the things that really stood out to me was everything was students first. Mr. Kroll talked about it. You know, decisions are based on students, and it didn't matter which administrator or teacher, they all said the same thing. And you really felt that being there. And so it just so happened a few months later, Nancy Faust had decided to retire, and so I applied.
Like I said, things happen for a reason from time to time. I'm talking with Joellen Schwartz. She's the principal there at the Lincoln Center here in Albia, and talking about her voyage through the educational system from a high school kid at EBF, and at that time it was just Eddyville, to coming back and teaching after a stint at Lee's Summit to be at Blakesburg, and then Eddyville, and then over to Fremont, and now here in Albia. The state of Iowa has changed so much in the landscape of education. One of the things that they really have been trying to get is increase in terms of reading and math and science. And Albia got their results back here recently that talked about the scores, and talked to Superintendent Richard Montgomery. He was quite pleased with what transpired in the school district. Talk about the pride that you have in terms of seeing those numbers go up.
Right. So I have pride in all of the staff that work really, really hard. And again, you know, bringing back that database decision making, our teachers and our paraeducators work exceptionally hard. And so I have pride in them for their effort. And then our students, I really feel like our students do their very best. We always talk about show off how smart you are, and, you know, just the community and parent support during, you know, especially during testing week, because we want kids to understand how important it is that we really do know what they know so that we can make better decisions educationally. But yeah, just super proud of everyone. And again, the landscape definitely has changed. All of our data and everything that we do, we look at as we have a teacher leadership team that makes all the decisions for the district, and they have made some really awesome decisions, kind of putting us in the place that we are right now.
Bottom line, I'm assuming, though, the parents have got to be on board in terms of their kids' education. It just can't be thrown on the backs and minds of the actual instructors there. But talk about the role that parents can play and have played.
So I believe there's a philosophy when working with families, and I truly believe that parents send their very best to school every single day, that they do everything that they can to help their child get going in the morning and, you know, support them. Sometimes life challenges happen, and, you know, maybe sometimes parents aren't able to work schedules that they want to work, and so, you know, their kiddos are home alone, maybe not getting some homework support that the parents wish that they could give, but they need to provide shelter and food. So, you know, just trying to provide those supports to parents and let parents feel like they can come to the school and say, hey, I'm having trouble with this. I think creating those relationships, and one of those things that we've done is through the food bank and different resources that we've been able to provide to parents to kind of reduce their stress so they're able to focus on their kids.
Jo Ellen, one of the greatest things is the community support. I mean, yes, taxpayers pay money and a lot of it comes into the school district, but the support has to be there as well. Talk about that.
Albie is amazing. When you look at the resources and the support that a community the size of Albie gives to the school district, it's absolutely amazing. The first thing that comes to my mind is the support of the food bank. We run the food bank once a week for families, and we also provide what's called the backpack program. And it's running because of, you know, generous discounts from Mix and Jim and Charlie's and Hy-Vee. And then we've had some very generous donations from churches and Coffee Grounds and Edward Jones. The Farm Credit Services of America also gave us very generous donation, LeGrand. And then this year for Christmas, I asked the staff to not buy me any presents and donate to the food bank. So the Lincoln staff also gave a very generous donation to the food bank. And then we have different community members who donate coats and hats. And, you know, when we have our state testing, we send out notes. And, you know, Hy-Vee and Jim and Charlie's gives us discounts on, you know, having snacks for kids. But it's really anything we need as a school district, they also are there and supporting. It's absolutely amazing.
Yes, it is. It is phenomenal to have that community support. You know, the school district is made up of several entities. You got administration, you got teachers, you have a janitorial staff, you have cooks, you have got bus drivers. In your estimation, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, who's the most underappreciated group that the school district has?
Oh, you are putting me on the spot, Pat. Well, I think two things. I think the people that are greeting your child every morning and the last one to say goodbye are pivotal in children's days. So the bus drivers are super important, and creating that atmosphere on their bus that it's kind of a calm way to get to school. And then, you know, just kind of the way our building works at Lincoln Center, our cooks and paraeducators also, you know, get to know kids in a different way. And so they are super supportive, and they often go with kids throughout the years. And so they've worked with this particular grade level maybe for 4 years. And so they have some insight that the teachers and I really appreciate when they're sharing their information.
That is a phenomenal answer, and I appreciate your honesty. I want to remind our listeners that you can go to our
on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, powered by Chevron Renewable Energy Group. Also brought to you by Hy-Vee, who proudly supports the Iowa State Cyclones. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Now, live, here's the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cyclone Coaches Corner, fueled by Chevron. Fueling your game for a lower carbon tomorrow makes you a winner today. And appreciate you joining us for today's show. We've got Bill Fenley with us for the first portion of the program, and then TJ Otzelberger will be along, and Noah Wolf of the Cyclone Radio Network is our guest co-host tonight. And, Coach, your team coming off a week where you had a win against a really good Kansas team. Nice win, and then a tough loss against a very good Utah team. So a split. I know it's not what you were hoping for, but at the same time, we saw some spurts of really good basketball. It just didn't last quite long enough, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think that's probably been, for the most part, that's kind of been our team so far. You know, I think our kids have really competed. I really don't have any issue with that at all. It's just when you play the schedule that we're playing and when you play the league that we're in, you know, those 3 to 5 minute time slots or time situations where you just don't do the things at either end of the court that maybe you need to do prove to be something that's hard to overcome. And Utah's very good team, very experienced team, one of the older teams in the country. And, you know, they made a lot of really good plays, made some shots. And obviously that's been a struggle for us. And I think as a